Hi, guys. My name is Jordan. I'm so glad to be here. I hail all the way from the University of Pittsburgh. I know. Look, chill. Oh, make some noise for Josh. What a guy. I said I was parched. He said, say less. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you. Yeah, so 2 years ago, he also used my credit card, so... You know, come on now. What a cheap guy. No, I'm just playing. So a couple years ago, we decided to start Chi Alpha at the University of Pittsburgh. And so I love that you're wooing me. This is great. Look, here's my take. All right, ready? On the court, you freaking hate us. We freaking hate you. It is what it is. Okay? On the pitch, okay? Football, bro. Backyard brawl back at Pittsburgh this next year. Oh, no, I'm getting things thrown at me. We'll tell everybody they were throwing stuff at him. It was crazy. Yeah, but here in this room, I think we can be friends. Can I get an amen? I think it's kind of cool that rival schools that literally, like, straight up hate each other, and you guys say some naughty freaking words about us, bro. Boldly, too. Even y'all Christians, I'm like, oh, no way, right? Even your pastors. Okay, but I love that we can come together and worship King Jesus together, and I actually think that this sort of friendship and partnership is from God. Like, I think it's sort of a way to show, like, all right, yeah, Pitt's a bunch of dirt bags. We think you guys are a bunch of dirt bags, but, like, in the kingdom, we can put that aside and love one another and have friendships. Last year, Sean and his small group guys came out to our first ever guys Bible study that we ever had, like, brand new. Four of those kids are leading small groups now. Okay, those four kids sent four through our LTC program that are training to be, and so you guys got to see us when we were just a little tiny baby, little small little thing. We're only in our second year, but honestly, God is moving in awesome ways. I'm serious about this. Give me a sec. I want to honor all your staff members, because when no one else believed in me, and I'm not just saying that, I didn't come from Chi Alpha, I didn't do it the right way, okay, I just had a vision, I grew up in Pittsburgh, I love that school, I knew that Pitt needed Jesus, I knew that they needed a spirit-filled community, there was nothing like it, and a lot of people were giving me a hard time. I want to tell you, no lie, West Virginia University was the first group of people in Chi Alpha to believe in me. They called me. They're like, whatever you need. Bro, I had Charles on freaking speed dial. I was like, what do I do? He's mailing me your small groups, right? We're just running them. I'm acting like they're my idea. So something we're going to do is up all night. Or, you know, I'm literally just ripping your ideas, okay? Right, Pastor, that's the first they're hearing. Okay, yeah. Freaking Sean, dude, all the time, spending time on FaceTime. I just want to honor you guys and say, thank you so much. When you were talking about Arizona State, is that what it was? When you were like, dude, we exist because someone believed in us and invested in us. I feel like Pitt exists because of all people, bro. Ain't that just God? Of all people, West freaking Virginia University believed in us. So I want to honor you. Can we give it up for your staff and directors? I love you guys from the bottom of my heart. Hey, I brought some friends with me. I want to introduce them to you. Sarah, will you stand up real quick? Everybody say hi to Sarah. Sarah, sit down, too much. Okay, Sarah is our Chi Alpha president. So give her a salute. You can kiss the ring later. Okay, she's our president. She stepped up. She's a sophomore. We're so thankful for her. This is Josh. Everybody say hi, Josh. Josh, don't you dare stand. They already saw you, okay? They saw you with the water. This is Josh. He's one of our worship leaders, so he leads at our version of Rally. He's incredible. What a beast on the keys, tickling those ivories. Okay. And then there's Sam. Everybody say hi, Sam. Sam, stand up. Okay, great. Give it up for Sam. What a guy. Look, Sam is our olive branch. We bring Sam to you as a sign of peace because his girlfriend goes to West Virginia University. Ava, make some noise right here. Okay. So, look, this relationship is our peace child, okay? Right? Now, I want to tell you, Sam, I got it, bro. I'm still mad about this. Sam went to the football game this fall, WVU Pitt, and he sent me a selfie. And he was wearing a freaking West Virginia t-shirt. Bro, Bro, I was like, no way. He's like, dude, it's scary here. It's, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, not wear that friggin' shirt. Bro, you better believe I copied that photo and sent it to his small group leader. And everyone's like, give this dude crap when he comes back. But even he is freaking rooting for West Virginia. We would love a chance to get to meet you guys afterward. We really do feel like you guys are family. As I mentioned, my name's Jordan. I am the campus pastor. We only have one staff member. You're looking at him, so I don't know what's going on in Pitt. Chi Alpha's falling apart while we're gone. But I am so pumped to be here. I really do feel like I have a word from Jesus. Can I open us just in a word of prayer just to set the right tone? And then we'll jump into things. Join me in prayer. God, thank you. Thank you the people from, we're not that far away from each other, but it feels like the opposite side of the country in some ways. I thank you, Lord, that we can be friends because we have a best friend in common. We have the same best friend, and that is you. I thank you, Lord, that you unite us, and I thank you that West Virginia University can speak into Pitt Chi Alpha. Pitt Chi Alpha can come and befriend West Virginia. God, we pray that your presence falls in a sweet way tonight, that we would understand you in a new way, unique way. I pray every person under the sound of my voice leaves different. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. All right, let's jump right into it. Tonight, I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk about fear. Somebody say fear. Turn to your neighbor, say fear. I want to look at that. They got the, I love it. I just sent them the stuff. They said, say less. We'll make you slides. Here to serve. I love you, West Virginia. Okay, no one's recording, right? Okay, good. We're good. Moving on. There's much I could say about fear, but I want to jump straight in, and I want to let you know that the Bible does not talk about fear in terms of an emotion. Now, we know that you can have an emotional reaction that is fearful, right? Car pulls out in front of you, you're ripping 80 on the highway. I hope to goodness you're not like, it is what it is. You know, I hope that there's some level of fear, right? Like, that's kind of sad. We'll pray for you afterward. Like, I fear nothing, right? Okay, all the TikTok gym bros, I don't fear anything, okay? But fear can certainly be an emotion. But the Bible actually talks about fear in regards to a spirit. Somebody say spirit. That there is a spirit of fear. Okay, so if we're thinking about, how do I even put this? If we're thinking about our lives as like a city, and we have walls around our city, that would be our character, that would be our discipline, things that is to protect us. We know that there's an enemy of our soul. And that enemy wants to get in and infiltrate our lives. And where does he choose to attack? Most commonly, the areas where the walls have been destroyed or taken down. So for some of us, he enters us and he chooses to attack us in regards to our purity because we don't have good boundaries or standards. Some of us, it's regards to our thought life. Some of us, okay, we all have these proverbial, we'll say like integrity walls. But I want to identify a specific place in the wall that I think the enemy enters into your life to torment you, to hold you back from purpose way more than I think we realize. I think this is a word not just for me, but for our generation. Okay, I got to be candid. I actually spoke this at our Pitt Chi Alpha and our rally. And I usually, when I go and I speak places, I try and write a message that's just unique. But I feel like this is what God has in my head and heart. And so I actually felt it appropriate to share with you, okay? It's the only other place I'm going to share it. But I felt like it was so right, especially as we're trying to shine for Jesus in a college setting. So I think the greatest fear we're facing is not arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, or claustrophobia, which I absolutely have, fear of closed spaces, or even the fear of clowns, which is very valid and legit. Sidebar, it is crazy that at some point someone was greenlighting clowns. Like, someone was like, that's a good idea. Like, your parents, like, bought clowns for you. They're like, bring in the clown. Like, McDonald's straight up was like, let's rock a clown. Like, they pay a real clown. What are we doing? That's insane to me. Whatever, moving on. Okay, go. That's just great. What the heck? Someone's like, clowns, dude. We want, okay, but it's not the fear of all those things. I believe it's the fear of man. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Write down fear of man. Tonight, we're talking about the fear of man. I want to define it for you. Those of you that take notes, it'll be on the screen. Here's what I believe the fear of man, which I want to say, if I'm putting my finger on, I think one of the areas that the devil, the spirit of fear enters into your life to torment you. And I believe some of you are going to receive, listen to me, deliverance tonight. Deliverance from the spirit of fear. Okay, not just like, I'm not afraid anymore. Yeah, I worshiped and now I feel great and I have an emotional. No, you will be delivered from the spirit of fear. That's very different. We'll talk about it. Here's what I believe the spirit of fear or the fear of man is: to revere and obey people rather than honoring and obeying God. Here's what happens. When we choose to fear man, man becomes very big. We have a huge view of man. We worry about how people look at us, perceive us, and the more, look at, your focus determines how large a thing is. So as we continue to worry about our friends, our family, our roommates, the people on our hall, the people that follow us on Instagram, our friends back home, as we worry about these things, actually, man gets bigger and bigger, and God grows smaller. And eventually, as you continue, God becomes distant in your life, and people will dominate your attention. I think when you need people's approval, you need their acceptance, you have allowed them to have power over you. That some of you have given willfully power over you to someone else. And when that happens, it's a whole slew of things that can go down. You can forget God's purpose for your life because you care more about how people perceive you. You can have your purpose distorted, your call abandoned. You begin to live in compromise. And some of you are dependent on people's approval. Let's be honest. Some of you need people to approve of you. How many of you, just give me a tiny wave so your neighbor doesn't see, would say you would define yourself. You say this about yourself. As a people pleaser, just a little tiny one. Okay, yeah, I'm a people pleaser, right? We kind of say that. Like, yeah, that's like a good thing about me. Like, I'm just a people pleaser. Hold on, what are we saying? We're saying, I care so much about making you happy, I'm not going to do what I want, or more dangerously, what I'm called to do. Because I just am a people pleaser. I just need you. What's your name? I'm just going to look at you a lot, Chris. I really respectfully apologize. I was like, I've looked at this guy like seven times. He's like, it's going to be a long night. Sorry, Chris. Yeah, I'll look at other people. I need your approval too. Like when we need people's approval, put this next point on the screen. I think fear of man is bondage. Somebody say bondage. Bondage to man's reaction to our actions. It's bondage. You're enslaved rather than God's reaction. Some of you, by the way, are realizing this, that you need to keep performing. The price for people's approval keeps going up. It's never satisfied, is it? It just gets higher and higher and higher, and suddenly you've created, look at me, you've created a little stage that you're performing for people on, and you're doing your dumb little jig for people that do not care about you, don't have your best interest in mind, they will not remember you after undergrad, after graduate school. You're literally doing a song and dance. Your whole life is just a performance so other people see you. Let's go in Galatians chapter 1. Put this on the screen. Here's what the Bible says. We're going to go through a couple scriptures. I like to limit the amount of scriptures we go through, not because I don't love the Word of God, but because I think chewing on one or two is far more potent and powerful. Here's what Galatians 1 verse 10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? Paul, by the way, is such a freaking G, dude. He's like, what do you think I'm trying to do out here? Am I trying to win your approval or God? It reminds me, it's giving Acts 4, okay, when the Sanhedrin is like, so never talk about Jesus again. And they're like, what the heck? You think we're going to listen to you? Like, what are you? Or God? Come on now. Like, what do you expect? Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were, look, this should scare us. It scares me. If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot live to serve other people's opinion, impression of you, and also God. you're going to be a slave of one. You're going to be a servant of one. You cannot walk in intimate union with God saying, I'll do whatever you want, except if my roommate disapproves, except if it's going to frustrate my parents, except I just won't post about it because that's not as cool as my spring break pics. Okay, like you can't walk in a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ and also say, but I care deeply about how other people see me. Put this on the screen. I believe the fear of man is an idol of approval, comfort, and pleasure. That's the fear of man. And let me be honest with you, okay? Because you probably thought, oh, this guy's yelling a lot. Yeah, I'm passionate because I freaking suck at this. Okay, I have struggled, and I feel like even recently the Lord has been working a lot in my life about the fear of man. And I'm still, bro, he's still cooking with me, okay? So I'm not a finished product. If we go out to rip some wings, are we ripping wings after this? What's it called? Kegglers, bro. Come on now. If you want to rip some wings with me, I'll tell you stories. But, like, I don't have this figured out. Because I feel like when I grew up, I don't know if it's because I'm, like, short as crap, short kings. What's up? Anybody? Come on. Yeah, I love you guys. Yeah, it freaking sucks, though, doesn't it? You're like, and now you see all these reels or TikToks, and it's like, if he's not 6'2", you're like, frick me, dude. I can't help it. I don't know if it's because I was short as crap or scrawny as crap. I, like, played soccer, so you know it's bad. You know what I mean? Like, I just like kicking the ball. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that manly because I couldn't rip some football. I ripped football, but not football. You know, it's bad. Strong males in my life, I needed their approval. Like, I love my dad, but I needed his approval. And my coaches mattered so much to me. And the male teachers I had, like, I wanted them. And I don't know where that really started for me, but, like, I don't think I grew up very popular, and so this fear of man was developed in me at a young age. And guys, I have done the dumbest stuff to try and get people to like me, okay? I'm going to tell you a story, and it's nice that I live like an hour and 45 minutes away from you because I don't like this story. I was remembering it when I was writing this message, and I was like, yo, this is cringe. But let me tell you, when I was an undergrad, I found out through a friend of a friend, like, so we're just straight up gossiping. Someone came up to me and told me something that someone said about me. By the way, like, the worst thing in the world, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, great, thanks for telling me. Now I'm going to worry about that for the rest of the year. You know what I mean? It's like, just so someone said. And I'm like, dude, freaking don't tell me, okay? So someone came up to me, and they're like, oh, this kid, I'll just name names because he's not around here. His name was Bracey, okay? I was friends with Bracey. He was on my hall. I was, like, acquaintances with Bracey. Someone's like, yeah, Bracey said he liked you, but he said you can't be serious for anything. And I was like, and that bothered me. You ever have this thing where you, like, want people to see you a certain way so bad and you can't break out of people's impression of you? Has that ever happened to anyone? Just me. I'm alone here. All right, I'm gonna rip it afraid. Let's do it. Yeah, I was like, that ticked me off, dude. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I can be serious. You know what I mean? Like, no, I couldn't, by the way. I was like, I just, like, wanted people to be like, Jordan's funny, but he's also serious. Like, I don't know. It just bothered me. And so, dude, I got petty. This is crazy. I really did this, and I'm embarrassed. I made up this plan in my mind. I'm going to show Bracey how serious I can be. Seriously, I went up to Bracey, straight face. Probably like when do I ever have a straight face? You know, I'm like, hey, Bracey, do you want to study? And just, like, looked at him, and he was like, yeah, dude, like, I don't know. And Bracey also was just, like, chill as crap. So Bracey was like, Bracey didn't hate me. He just said I couldn't be serious. And I was like, I'll show him. So I'm like, hey, Bracey, you want to study? And Bracey was like, yeah, dude, I don't really want to go to the library. I was probably just going to, like, rip it in my room on Saturday. And I was like, what time? He's like, I don't know, like, 2:00. I was like, I'll be there. And I walked away. And I was like, I showed him. Look at how serious. No, wait, it gets worse. I grab my books to study, and I go to his room, and here's my rule. Don't say a word. I'm going to just sit there and study like a serious person. I went up to his room. I didn't even say hi. He's like, oh, hey, Jordan. I go, and sat down on the floor like a psycho. And there, not a word. 3 hours. Dude, not a freaking word, dude. I know. This is not the story to tell you to get you to like me, okay? Like, you're not like, wow, I respect this guy. Let's bring him in again, right? I'm literally sitting there. Dude, I ran out of stuff to study at one point. I was like, frick, I didn't bring enough stuff. But I'm so serious. I'm going to keep looking like him. So I just go. And then when I was ready to be done, I closed the book. I didn't even say goodbye. I just went. And left, okay? And that's it. I showed Bracey I can be serious. Now, I was thinking about that a few years later, and I'm like, that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, that's insane, okay? Is there anyone else in the room who's ever done some crazy, maybe not that crazy, but some weird stuff? Give me a wave if you've done some stuff to change people's impression of you. Oh, okay. Four of us are going to be honest. Great. I know some of you put stuff on a story and you only put that story up so one person can view it. I know you've worn outfits and felt frustrated that someone didn't take your picture in that cute outfit, so you're like, take my freaking picture. Like, I look hot, okay? Like, oh my, oh no, oh yeah, post that crap, rip that thing up, right? Okay, I know some of you, before you go to the pool, you boys hitting out 45 push-ups and walking out. You know what I mean? Like, no way. How is his chest so big? Oh my gosh, no way, right? Get a little pump in. Like, dude, we do some freaking psychotic stuff to be seen a certain way. Dude, I can keep going. Like, how long? What time did they kick us out of this room? You want to hear just me be cuckoo for freaking 30 minutes? Okay, literally, I have like 7 stories here. It's like, pick one or two. Like, how long do I have? I guess I'll say, I felt so bound. And you're like, why do you care? Who gives a rip? I'll tell you. You give a rip when you have a stronghold of fear in your life. I know it doesn't make sense, but when there's a stronghold about people need to like me, you give a rip. And you give a rip about the dumbest stuff. I remember, like, studying how people that were popular dressed and, like, looking up, like, where to find those pants, you know? Like, I can't afford Lulu, so I'm like, Lulu dupes for dudes, you know what I mean? It's like, I am trying to be someone else, talk like them, dress like, oh, they posted and they didn't use this filter. I mean, literally, like, trying to study to be liked, and whether that's connecting or not, I'll just say, I wanted to be someone. I didn't care who it was. I just wanted that person to be liked. Sidebar, if you're trying to mimic someone else, if there's two copies of the same person, one of you is obsolete. And I want to say, if you're literally trying to be someone that you're not and trying to copy or look, okay, not as ridiculous as me, but little minor versions of yourself, I'm going to prepare you for something. You will be rejected because God did not make that version of you. And some of you are trying to be someone else and you're going to feel rejection again and again and again. And it's because God didn't design you to be that person. And so you have a victim complex now, but I'm telling you, God is just not approving of this fake life that you're trying to live. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25. We're going to stay on this one for most of our time together. The fear of man will prove to be a snare. A snare. I want you to picture a bear trap and you skipping through the woods. Oh, you guys are West Virginia dudes. Marching through the woods. Hunting through the freaking woods. Slinging a shotgun. But I'm about to provide for my family. Okay. Us pit boys, we skip through the... Okay, yeah. They're liking me. All right, whatever. You're walking through and... Psh, you get trapped and you get, you're not going anywhere after you get that bear trap. You know, I gotta go to the grocery store. Pa-ching, pa-ching. You know what I mean? You're not, I gotta go get some gas on the way. Like, that's a day defining event that happens to you, right? You're held by this snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I want to give you 3 ways that I see the fear of man being a snare in your life. And I'm telling you, some of you are going to get free tonight. Some of you will be free. Let's go to 1. It changes you. The fear of man will change you. You will start to change your personality. How many of us have ever been in rooms where we are laughing at sin and we know we're having 2 versions of ourselves? One of us is like, I should not be laughing. I should not be laughing. And the other one's like, yeah, that's hilarious. I love this. I struggle with this so much. I wanted like frat type boys to like me. And so they'd be like, yeah, I had sex 19 times. And I was like, ha, 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 yeah, I'm a virgin as crap, and I'm waiting for marriage, but like, sick, dude. Like, I was literally performing. It was changing me. I've been in rooms where people start to gossip, and I know the Spirit of God is saying, this displeases me, but I'm worried about how people are going to feel when I say, hey, guys, we should probably stop. This is gossip. Like, I even still to this day, I feel this, ooh, what are people going to think of me? Oh, what a, dude, I've literally, like, acted like I've seen movies before that I haven't seen. Someone's like, oh, dude, did you watch the show? I'm like, yeah. And the Holy Spirit's like, you haven't seen the show. What are you doing? What are you lying? I just care so much. It starts to change you. And I know I'm making a lot of jokes. I'm trying really hard to bring your attention to this in a humorous and light way. But I think you can change into a totally different person because of the fear of man. And I might even say, I'm not trying to be rude. There are people that should be in this room that are not currently because they allowed the fear of man to pull them into a sector of this college or this campus that they were never meant to be in. And they've changed. You watched it. Some of your best friends from high school, some of your best friends, you've watched them change who they are. And you know that's not you. Oh, that is. No, you've allowed the fear of man. Some of you, let me just speak to you for a second. Some of you are a chameleon. Like, you change who you are with whatever room you're in. So you're about to go back home, okay, over, you know, you got your Chi Alpha friends, but some of you are deathly afraid when May 3rd hits and everything is over and you go back to your hometown or wherever you're from or your home friends because you change who you are. Some of you, you're such a chameleon, you even put up, like, these walls to not let people know the real you. Because no one can know the real you. And so you create this fake, superficial, this false self that you put on display that you think, this is the best version of me, and I really hope they like this, but you have never let anyone see the real you. Go to number two. Number two. I think it changes you, but number two, you become a slave to approval. And this is where things start to go south. You worry about how people see you. Some of you overthink every hangout. And you send 19 apology texts, and you think it's cute or endearing. I want to tell you, you're bound by the spirit of fear. You really are. Why is every time you go out, you're so anxious? Listen to me, anxiety is become normal, and I understand it's very real. I don't mean to come off rude. I just want to tell you, God has more for you than that. Holy crap. What, you're supposed to be afraid to leave your dorm and go see people who love you? You sense, hey, I'm sorry if it came off that way. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I didn't mean to. You are so bound up that you're a slave for approval. Some of you get extremely nervous before you do the most normal things. Like I was so proud. What was your name? Lauren, you killed it, girl. And I loved your confidence, but in our Chi Alpha, we're new. And so when I ask students, hey, can you just speak on the microphone? I'm just like, we're not big. Like, we're like, you know, it's like 17 of us, and we're going to rip some food after this. But they're like, I don't know, dude. Isn't that your job? I'm like, no, it's my job to make it your job. So, but this idea of, what are people going to think about me? And listen. Can I be your pastor just for a second? I know I'm not your pastor. Let me be your pastor. Some of you now compromise your faith because of this. And you are a slave to people's approval, and you've compromised. Okay, we were in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. I wish I would have sent this to you, but 9, you can read it on your own. It literally says this. If anyone preaches to you, anyone, even an angel of heaven, so even a good thing, preaches to you a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach to you, let them be cursed. That's some strong language. Like, cursed. What if you, like, went to a church, and I was like, oh, what'd they teach in your church? And you told me, and I was like, okay, cool. Me and the leadership talked, and we cursed them. You'd be like, okay, well, praise God. Like, wow, that's strong language. But here's why. 98% Jesus is 100% not Jesus. 95% Jesus, almost. And so we have, is 100% not Jesus. And so we have some of us changing who Jesus is to win the approval of people. And when you do that, you can't give anyone a straight answer. You can't be honest about anything. Look, I know I'm a guest. I know I'm not your pastor. Let me say some hard truths for a second. Not just to, like, yeah, let me just, someone record me, and oh, I'm going to say offensive things. That's not my goal. I just want to say the fear of man is holding some of you back, that you can't give people a straight answer. Like, do all people who don't know Jesus go to hell? Yes. Yes. Like, But that's not really the question, is it? The question is, if God revealed himself to you and proved himself to be true, why would you not want to know him, right? That's the real question. But we're unable to give clear, honest answers because we're so afraid. I think about the person of Saul, King Saul, right? Worried. I won't go into the whole story. You can study it in your groups or whatever this week if you want. But Saul was so worried about how people see him, it made him go into compromise. How people saw him, it made him go into compromise. Like, he was not supposed to light the offering. He was supposed to wait and then go to war. And if you know this story, people start being like, dude, it's been too long. Come on, let's go. Let's go to war. It's time to go to war. He's like, I got to wait for the prophet Samuel. But people start to leave. And you see him panic. He's like, frick, I'm losing my army. Shoot. And they're like, dude, let's go. And he's like, I'm supposed to wait for Samuel. And he allows the fear of man to dishonor God. And he's like, fine, I'll just do it myself. It's fine. He probably got lost. And he lights this offering. And no sooner than he does, it's like a movie, dude. Samuel comes walking up from over the hill. And you're like, yeah, oh, he's screwed. And Samuel says, I know I don't smell this offering right now. Oh, it's just the people. Dude, later, King Saul, do you remember this? Later, King Saul, he goes and he's not supposed to steal anything. He's supposed to lay everything there and kill the people and then walk away. And he goes to Jericho, and what does he do? He takes some sheep. He's like, bet, you know, like, it is what it is. Like, rip some sheep. And he's like, ah, it's not a big deal. Whatever. And Samuel again says, dude, you think you can just do whatever these people want you to do? And he's like, God is removing you as king of Israel. And Samuel, this is how toxic it was for him. After Samuel says that, Saul is like, okay, fine. Doesn't even care. He's like, just don't walk away from me in front of the people. I want them to see, like, make it look like we're homies. He's like, you've lost your care of how God sees you. And he starts to walk away. And when he starts to walk away, this is like chilling. He grabs his cloak. Do you remember? Stop, dude, my bad. He grabs his cloak, right? He's like, Samuel, don't do it. And it rips. Bars, by the way. Samuel says, in the same way, God is tearing you from his kingdom. And everyone's like, ah, you know what I mean? Like, sit down, boy, right? But it leads to compromise, okay? Some of you, God has told you to share your faith. Like, you're literally, like, walking. And God's like, shh, go invite that girl to small group. And you're like, which girl? And he's like, that girl. And you're like, where? He's like, over there. And you're like, it's too late. Too late. I already missed her. You know, like, we just, next time. And we come up with the most crazy things. If it's from you, God, make her do a cartwheel. It's like, God's like, okay, good idea. No, said no. You know, God's like, oh, it's all right. I'll prove it to you. You know, make her like do the stanky leg. And like, what? God's like, no, I told you. And if you fear me, you'll listen to me. Also, by the way, how do I know if it's God or what is it, the devil? Share your faith. Invite him to core group. How do I know it's not my own thoughts? It's like, it could be. I think it's a good thought. You know what I mean? Like, sharing your faith is a great thought. You've been discipled well. Praise God. Every conversation leads to Jesus. Bing bong. Okay, let's rip it. Let's go. But we are bound by the fear of man. Number three, we're moving. I'm sorry, I'm going late. Number three, it pulls you away from your purpose. This is the most important one to me. It pulls you away from your purpose. Listen, I said this to my group. I think it applies here. Your ceiling in your faith is this, fear. Fear will become a ceiling. Wherever your fear tells you to stop, that's where you'll stop. So you're like, I'll share my faith only if I've been in a group with someone for like 12 weeks. Okay, that's your ceiling, literally, and it's not a very high one. Like, oh, I'll go to a country that I can speak the language already and I don't have to try or learn. Okay, great, that's your ceiling. Like, congrats, you've met your ceiling. You know your ceiling. Right now, you have a ceiling. And I think God wants to deliver you from this and release you into the purpose and destiny he created you for. But not you cannot do that if you are bound by the spirit of fear. Okay, some of you, ready? Let me cook. Some of you only do things that are in your personality. Dude, I'm sick of hearing this in my group. Maybe, oh, it's not my personality. Okay, do it anyway. Like, is it the right thing to do? Like, oh, that's like just not how God made me. It's like, wow, crazy thing about that is that he called all of us to make disciples, and he called all of us to be truthful. And he called all of us, like, I do some speaking at, like, little, like, teen summer camps and things like this. And a couple weeks ago, I had a kid come up to me, and he was like, "Can you pray for me?" And I was like, "Yeah, bro." Like, I was in. I was like, "Yeah, bro, I'll pray for you." And he's like, "Dude, just pray for me. I'm an introvert." And I was like, "I don't know how to pray for that." You know what I mean? What, do we cast that out of you? Like, I think God just made you to recharge on your own. Like, some of my best friends are introverts. Like, that's not a bad thing. But I can pray. You can be bold and say no to yourself when you feel like God's called you to something that's against your personality. Just like us freaking extroverts need to learn how to go and do silence and solitude and take a lint-licking Sabbath and, like, actually, like, read the Bible by ourselves and not just, like, I talked about it with my friend. Like we also have to. So, like, God's not interested in making you more extroverted or introverted. He created you as you are to be obedient. But why would God do that? Why would God have you do something that's not in your personality? Maybe it's because he gets glory in your weakness. Maybe it's because he receives praise and glory when you do something that isn't your personality. Because when you're quiet as freaking crap and you come up here and you say, "Hey, let's worship Jesus because he's worthy of all glory and honor and praise," and you walk off, people are going to go, "Dang, I know he would not do that if it wasn't Jesus in him." Or when the loud, obnoxious, can't be serious person goes away and knows how to have a quiet devotional life and spend time with the Lord and get a word, you're like, "Dang, you are doing something that's not." God gets glory when we operate in our weakness. And so if you're, "Oh, I only do it my personality, oh, I'll leave that for someone else," I say, bump that. That's a stupid ceiling that's man-made. And what is at the root of that? The fear of man. The fear of man. Jeremiah 17:5 says it this way: "Cursed is the person who trusts in man." And then it goes on, this is Jeremiah, "He will be like a bush in the desert." I want you to picture that, shriveled up, right? Picture a bush like a tumbleweed now. No life, dried up. That is how some of you are with your purpose, because you have trusted in man. Here, we'll do this. We're talking about purpose, okay? Let's talk about purpose for a second. We all know we're called to make disciples, who make disciples. Like, this is our rally cry. By show of hands, I'm going to ask, how many of you in this room, at some point, we'll say over the last 2 years, have felt or heard the voice of God asking you to share your faith or to evangelize to someone you did not know? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, keep it up. I want us to feel this. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Oh, so what, a fivefold event? You know, we're all just evangelists here. Wow, look at that. No, this is how committed God is to his harvest. He loves his harvest enough to put it on your heart. Now, I won't do this show of hands. How many of you chickened out? I bet it'd be a few of you, you know? Because guess what? My hand would be up too. But if you want to step into your purpose, we must reject the fear of man. So what do we do? What do we do? I got three things I want you to do. Put that verse back up on the screen, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man, because I think it has the answer right there. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, right, a trap. It's holding you back. We just said how it does that. How does it do it? Changes you. You become a slave to people's approval, and it pulls you from your purpose. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Okay, so we have the antidote right here. Trust in the Lord, that you'll be kept safe. This is the antidote to the fear of man. So I'm going to give you three ways, things I want you to do this week. And I really do mean this week, to break the fear of man. Put the first one up. It's what the verse says. Trust in God. We must trust in God again. You have put your faith and trust in man and their approval of you, and that being the thing that gives you stability. But we must put our trust in God. A big view of God. Let me preach for a second. A big view of God breaks the fear of man in your life, okay? All of God's promises in your life are on the other side of fear. Every promise he's ever declared over you, some of you have received prophetic words that you have not seen fulfilled yet. They are on the other side of fear. Listen, West Virginia University, what if God is calling you to something holy but unpopular? What if God is calling you to do something that will shake this campus? Yes, in the last month. Yes, in a busy month. What if he's calling you to something, but it's unpopular? Do you trust in God or do you trust in man? Do you trust in your ability? I can figure it out. I'm wise. I can still do it without having to. Or do you trust fully in God? Fear is the number one tactic the enemy uses to delay your obedience. How many of us at Fall Retreat heard a word from God? I got to do it. Thank you, Lord. And we get back here. I don't know. Never mind. I can't. Fear will delay your obedience and then turn to disobedience. Number two, we have to magnify God. Magnify God. Write this down. Magnify God. This is what we're going to do to close service tonight. I want us to worship. And as we, look here, as we lift up the name of Jesus, we magnify him. What does that mean? To make big. God is awesome, glorious, not people. As we worship, it's crazy. You ever feel this? When we worship, our problems get small. You ever just spend a few minutes in the presence of God, even in your car or in your dorm room, you start worshiping and you're like, oh, what the frick was I worried about? You know, Cynthia? Like, no way. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I got a bad grade. Who the frick cares? God of the universe is on my side. There's nothing I can't do. I'm walking in purpose. When we start to get a big view of God, our problems get small. My pastor used to always say this. I will not tell I will not tell God how big my problems are. I'll tell my problems how big my God is. Right? Like, oh, Lord. Yeah. My roommate's going to reject me. No. I'm going to tell fear. Buckle up, I got God on my side who's been working overtime to win my roommate's heart and turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. I trust God and I magnify a big God. When you magnify God, you'll consider the prospect of displeasing God more fearful than the prospect of displeasing man. You will feel the prospect of displeasing God as way more scary than what it would be to displease man. I think some of us need to be a lot more worried about displeasing God than we are about displeasing our parents. And I want you to honor your parents, but some of that has been a stronghold in your life. Last one, and the band, you guys can come up at this point in time. We're gonna practice magnifying God. But number three is to reject fear and bind the fear of man. Let me preach for a second. There is only one hell, but if there were two, and if there was a hell on earth, it would be those of us who feared man and never accomplished our purpose. That would be hell on earth. I think the graveyard, I've heard it said, is the richest place on earth. Maybe you've heard someone say something like this because it's where everyone's dreams and purpose went to die. You walk through a graveyard and you think about each person, every headstone. You think about each person that God created with purpose and destiny and placed people that they could only reach and nations that were to be reached. Yet, I bet if we went through and we knew all their stories, the fear of man would kill that. That he never went where he was supposed to go. And she never shared with her coworker. And they were too afraid to get into a fight with their significant other. And so it led them into apostasy. And they didn't even raise their kids in a Christian environment. Okay, the fear of man, if we went through, we would see that this is what it's like to experience hell on earth. And I want to tell you tonight, and I mean this, it's about to get lit in here, okay? Look, not just because I'm hype and I'm loud and I'm extroverted, but because I believe the power of God is going to come. You have authority in Jesus' name. Let me preach for a second. Listen to me. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he said, all authority that was given to me is now given to you. Actually, he said, you're the head and not the tail. He said, I've placed all things under my feet, which therefore are placed under your feet. You can speak to darkness and it must flee. And I think we've lost what authority we have. Some of you have been getting punked on by the devil, and I'm sick of it, and it's time you are too. And there comes a point, look, we got to rationalize it and dislodge lies, but there's a point where we feel our heart beating, and we're worried, and we're freaking out. And there is something that it needs to be said for taking that authority. Come on now, look at me. And saying, I reject you in Jesus' name. Devil, I curse you. You have no right. Get out. I reject the fear of man. Some of you have never prayed that way, and you were bound by it. But tonight, I really do believe that some of you are going to be set free when you make that choice to step into your authority and bind the fear of man. Listen, I know that this freaks some of you out. Like, oh, what are you saying? It's demonic? Yeah! have you listened to me? I'm freaking coarse. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That the devil is having his way with how some of you live your life, and it's time we look back at him and say, no, I reject you in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand to our feet? Here's my advice. I'm going to summarize everything that I said. I'm going to come on stage because short king. Like you're standing and I'm like, wow, I can't freaking see anyone. So here's I guess, how I want us to close this. I got one piece of advice for you. Put this on the screen. This week I want you to do it scared. Do it afraid. But I'm afraid. Yeah, great. Do it afraid. Look, I love when the Holy Spirit comes into a room, because I don't even need to, like, maybe it's this, or I know. I feel it right now. You know exactly what it is that you're called to do. Some of you need to pick up the phone and call your parents and apologize. Some of you need to share your faith, like tonight. Some of you, there's someone that's supposed to, you need to apologize. Okay, like, I know you can feel right now. Or some of you just need to just say, I reject the fear of man. I've been living with this snare. But I'm telling you right now, do it afraid. Do it afraid. And look at me. If every one of us in this room said, screw fear, I bind the fear of man, and we did it afraid, what would happen to this room? It could be double the size. And it's not even that crazy of a thing. Like, oh my gosh, no way. Because we're all bound by something, some demonic thing that is holding us back. So I want to challenge you now. This week, do it afraid. Do it scared. Choose to say, all right. And look, if you're in a small group with people, tell them, I'm talking to my roommate tonight. I felt that fear come up, and let them pray over you. But before we do that, I want you to receive prayer. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my call tonight. And don't you dare be too afraid for this. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, I can.
I'm going to make it so simple and clear and plain. If you have been allowing the fear of man, the fear of popularity, wanting to be seen as cool, wanting to be seen as athletic, wanting to be seen as popular, wanting to be seen as pretty, to be liked, to be accepted, whatever it is, if you've been allowing fear to hold you back, and tonight you're deciding, don't you do it because I'm putting pressure on you. You better do it because you feel it in your spirit now. You're deciding tonight, I choose to reject the fear of man. I'm choosing to part ways. Tonight, I'm breaking up with fear. If that's you, I want you on the count of three to slip up your hand. Don't you dare wait. Don't hesitate. If you're peeking around, that's an L, okay? This is between you and God. So if that's you, and you're parting ways with the fear of man, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, God loves you. Two, he's got a purpose for you. And it cannot be accomplished through fear. Three, raise your hand. Put it up strong now. Thank you, God. Let's freaking go. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep it up. I want you to feel the tension in your arm. You're not showing me. I don't care. You're showing God with every hand. Yes, that's awesome. Can we do this, West Virginia, Chi Alpha? Can we even right now just begin to express our gratitude to God? Maybe even you whisper loud enough for your own ears to be able to hear. Come on, let's just make this place a place of praise. What, are you afraid? Okay, do it afraid. Oh, I've never prayed out loud. Great, tonight's a wonderful night. So God, I thank you for every hand. I thank you that it represents souls. I thank you that it represents purpose. Tonight, we reject the fear of man in Jesus' name. Satan, we say you have no right. You have no authority. We cast you out. I pray deliverance in Jesus' name. I pray the lies that were spoken over us, with whether it be coaches or parents or friends that kept us dependent on approval, we reject that. God, we only need your approval. Come on, don't get tired on me. Continue to lift your voice loud enough for your own ears to hear. Loud enough for your own ears. God, we bind the fear of man. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. You can put your hands down. Here's how I ask the worship team to kind of close us out. We're going to sing a couple of songs. Don't worry, we're still going to FaceTime the group and tell them, yeah, we gave you money, and it's going to be great. But I want us to get a big view of God and spend just a few minutes getting the right perspective. So let me pray for us, and the worship team will lead us. Why don't you, if you feel comfortable, will you stretch forth your hand? God, I pray that your spirit fall, that your presence fall in this room. Oh, God, that we would get a glimpse of how big you are. That you, we would see how much you love us, but the great calling that we could leave behind if we allow fear to hold us back. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.